You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller, and we are joined today by Mike Fulmer, who is the author of a new book called A Journey Through the Life of Jesus. It's a year-long devotional series of the Gospels, but it only covers Volume 1, at least this book does, in the first 90 days. Mike, thank you so much for being with us.
I'm happy to be with you, Adam. Thank you for having me.
Well, why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about yourself, the ministry that you have in teaching adult ministries, but also in the emphasis of looking to Jesus and why this has been such an important study for you.
Well, I could tell you a little bit of how I started to write the devotional, if that would help.
Yeah, let's start there.
Okay. It was when I was in grad school at Oral Roberts University, and one of my undergraduate professors, a gentleman by the name of Dr. James Tollett, he had suggested that I write some devotionals just in case I'm called upon in class to have a devotional. He said, that way you'll have some ready. And so I thought, okay, that'd be a good idea. So what I did was I started writing some devotionals, and I would email them to him. And he emailed back to me and said, Mike, these are really good, but instead of just picking out scriptures here and there, why don't you develop a theme? And from even as a little kid, I used to love the Gospels. So I thought, well, good theme would probably be focusing on the Gospels. So that's how I came to write this devotional series on the life of Jesus, because I've just always loved the Gospels. So to me, it's real important, especially as a Christian, to be real familiar with the life and ministry of Jesus, because that's where the Christian faith began. So that's kind of where that that direction came about as far as writing what I wrote. And I just, love Jesus, and I love studying his word, and I love especially studying the Gospels, because we go right to the source of what he taught and what he did and how he lived his life, and that's where the devotional series came from. The other part of the question with the ministry at Hope International, I teach the adult Sunday school class. So that's usually about 30 minutes before the prayer time starts, which leads into the worship service. And I just enjoy teaching the scriptures. So I have this opportunity. In fact, the pastor at my church was one of my professors in grad school at Oral Roberts University. So it's a nice fit for me, being there and being in his church.
So this book here is really just volume one, and it goes up to, I think, Matthew chapter 11 or somewhere around there, Matthew chapter 10. How many series do you think you're going to have before this devotional comes into its completion?
It'll be 4 volumes.
Mm-hmm. So it'll basically be a full year devotional series on the Gospels. And you've taken a different route with many would think there's 4 Gospels, there's going to be 4 volumes, you would cover each volume would be a different Gospel, but you've gone with a chronological look at the Gospels. So you're actually taking us through the time frame of Jesus' birth, his incarnation, all the way through. So tell us a little bit about the reasoning behind that.
Well, I had a book in the seminary studies, a synopsis of the 4 Gospels, and I thought, well, this would probably be a nice way to look at it. That way, you're not just doing a devotional on Matthew, and then one on Mark, and one on Luke, and one on John, but going through the life of Jesus chronologically and seeing where the different Gospel stories, where they intersect, and then also where one gospel may cover one aspect of his life, and then the others pick up from there. So that's kind of the way that I set it up, following the format of the book, which is, like I said, entitled The Synopsis of the 4 Gospels. So I kind of used their outline as the basis for my outline, but I changed some things here and there and changed the title of each of the stories, just to make it a little more appropriate for my devotional.
I remember I was in college when I first read the Synoptic Gospels together in that chronological form, and I have to say that it was a completely different perspective of seeing all of the events and how they unfolded. It puts it into a unique narrative that's actually very helpful in understanding the Bible.
Absolutely. It really does. And so I wanted to share that without being, too academic or scholarly, but I wanted to, at least give my readers a taste of that so that they see, oh, yeah, especially Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're very, they look at the life of Jesus from a very similar perspective, the way they recorded the events. John kind of does his own thing, but all of them are important, and we learn significant things about Jesus through each of the four gospel writers, through their writings.
Now, we're spending an entire year to look to Jesus. Our theme verse is Hebrews 12:2, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What is it about this study that you said in the introduction here that you were looking around and you didn't find any devotionals that were really focused on Jesus? There's a lot of programs out there to read through the Bible in a year, but not to really spend a year to look at Jesus. Why do you think that is?
I think there's probably a couple different reasons. One of the things I know, if you go into a number of churches, a lot of them like to read primarily and preach primarily out of the epistles. And while the epistles are fantastic because they give the perspective of the Christian faith after Christ's resurrection and ascension, and whatnot, and what we would call the church age. But the Gospels are important from my perspective because if you read at the end of Matthew 28, where he tells the disciples when they go out and make disciples that they're to teach them everything that he commanded them. Well, we primarily know what Jesus commanded us in the Gospels. So I think reading the Gospels is still vitally important. But some people, for whatever reason, don't seem to spend a whole lot of time there. So I wanted to give that perspective, but also because I personally love the Gospels. So that just seemed to be a natural fit for me. But to answer your question, I think that might be part of it. They focus more on, say, the writings of Paul, because he wrote most of the epistles. But Paul would have been the first one to tell you, yeah, I'm not the one who died for you. Jesus did, so you better learn about him.
It seems like we want to learn a lot of the instructions that were given in the epistles to the church. The how-tos were often drawn to that, but we're not drawn to these books, as your devotional is, to draw us into a growing affection for our Savior. And you can only grow in that affection for your Savior when you spend time with him, correct?
Absolutely.
So this devotional is really a matter of spending time each day with Jesus. What are the natural benefits of doing that? What do we see when we look to Jesus for a full year?
Well, we see the different, not only his teachings, which, you read the Sermon on the Mount, the different teachings that Jesus gave, his parables. I mean, they're phenomenal insights into not only the kingdom of God, but also how we relate with each other and how we should relate with each other. Because we seem to do things one way, and the Lord's telling us, no, you're to do it this way if you're a part of the kingdom of God. And so that's an important element of it. Another thing that we can gain from spending time in the Gospels is just seeing how Jesus handled different situations. He didn't handle things the way we do. He was constantly looking, how do I get them to understand the will of my Father? How do I get them to see the kingdom of God's way of handling things? It's a totally different mindset. We often think, well, I have to take care of myself, because if I don't take care of me, no one else will. But Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything that you're looking to take care of for yourself, well, I'll make sure it's taken care of. You focus on doing the will of my Father, I'll take care of taking care of you. So it's just a different way of looking at things. And it's God's way of looking at things. And I think we need more of that definitely in the world, but I think we need more of that in the church as well.
I think one of the unique challenges we have in our culture today is the idea of a general knowledge of Jesus, but not a deep knowledge of Jesus. What is the reader going to see when working through this devotional about Jesus that they may not have picked up just from what they've heard in conversation and talk and even just going to church on a Sunday about the person and the work of Jesus?
Well, what I tried to do with the devotional was at the end of each devotional giving a ponder point. So what that would do is, okay, we read these particular verses, looked through this devotional, now how do I apply this to my life? So it enables them, you know, to think, oh, okay, well, Jesus did this, how does that apply to me today? You know, how can I do the same type of thing in my life? So I think that's where the devotion itself can help, but just spending time reading the Gospels and pondering, you know, looking at the different teachings of Jesus, looking at when he, you know, talked about, you take out the speck in your brother's eye, but you leave the plank in your own eye. And just, you know, looking at those things and seeing, you know, what did he mean by that? You know, what was he trying to teach not only the audience that was listening to him at that time or what the gospel writer was trying to get to his original audience, but how does it apply to us today?
What was the way in which you broke up the different studies? I mean, you look in and most of the devotionals are no more than two pages, and sometimes you cover the same passage in two different days in the devotional. What was your purpose in breaking it up into such small segments when looking at the life of Jesus as accorded to the Gospels?
I wanted to keep the devotional small enough to where it could be read, you know, in a few minutes, because, you know, people are busy and don't have a lot of time necessarily to do a real in-depth Bible study, you know, before they go off to work or what have you. So I wanted to keep it kind of short and succinct. On some of the devotions, as you might have noticed, I had a part one and a part two and maybe a part three or what have you, just because some of the stories couldn't be broken up into sections. So I thought, well, in order to adequately address this particular story, it's going to need more than one day. So that's kind of how I broke it down. Like I said, I followed the synopsis of the four Gospels. I followed their layout as much as possible. Like I said, changing some things here and there to, you know, make it advantageous and for what I was looking to do for the layout of the total devotional. But just to try to keep it where people could get to spend some time with Jesus, get some food for thought so that they could go on with their day and have something to think about that, okay, how can I become more Christ-like in my walk?
Through the process of these three-month studies, cover the lifespan and the ministry of Jesus, because this is the first volume of a four-part series, how much are they going to actually get as to a glimpse of this person, the central character of the Gospels, Jesus Christ?
Well, since the devotions are focused in on the Gospels, I would think that they would get a nice look. Now, again, I didn't write a commentary, so there are obviously things that I couldn't cover just because of the format of a devotional compared to a commentary, which gets into, you know, the nuances of the Greek language and all that stuff, you know, verse by verse and so on and so forth, and you carry it around, and it's like carrying around a dictionary. Well, I didn't get into that type of depth, but I got into enough of the depth that they can see who Jesus was, they can see how he interacted with people, they can see what he taught and what he said and how he interacted. And in looking at that, they can get a good idea of, okay, this is how I'm to act too when I am confronted with different situations, when I run into situations that I don't like or I don't agree with or I don't know how to handle. We can rely on the Holy Spirit just like Jesus did. And the Lord's there to show us how to act in situations so that we act in a Christ-like manner.
I'm going to talk a little bit more about this emphasis of looking at Jesus for an entire year. And there are so many different devotionals out there. There's so many different studies, and many people will start to read through the Bible in a year, and they give up by the time they get to Deuteronomy or Leviticus. What is the advantage of starting? You write as though this is something that a new believer could pick up. A new believer trying to pick up Genesis to Revelation, they would probably never be able to finish. But a new believer could pick this up. What's the advantage for them?
For a new believer, it's an advantage because they get introduced to Jesus very quickly. Because Jesus is, he's the emphasis of the Christian faith, of course. So instead of, you know, reading the different, all the genealogies and, set, for example, all the information that's in the book of Numbers and so on and so forth, we don't have that here. There's very little genealogical work in the Gospels. Matthew has a genealogy at the beginning of his Gospel, and then Luke has a genealogy in his Gospel as well. Mark and John do not. So there's not a lot of this person was the father of this person was the father of this person, because from our perspective, and you know, especially in the American culture, that's not something that we're real quick to want to read. You know, let's be honest. I mean, it's important and it's biblically important, but it's not something that we today, you know, are just all gung-ho about reading. Oh, I can't wait to get to the genealogy parts. You know, we don't think that way. So this doesn't deal a lot with the genealogy, although, like I said, Matthew and Luke mention it because the genealogies, for example, played a very important part. So they were mentioned, they were given the appropriate attention, but it wasn't dwelt upon. So a new believer will get introduced to Jesus very quickly. And like, for example, with the where it talks about the birth of John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus and the events that occurred, they get very quickly get introduced to the fact that God was in control of all of these events, and he was showing how important it was at even at the Messiah's birth, at Jesus' birth, showing how that was fulfilling Scripture and how important the fulfillment of Scripture was to Jesus as the Jewish Messiah, and then in turn as our Messiah and our Lord.
So in the process of this, you know, being a really great introduction for new believers, this is also something that some of us more seasoned believers can come back to and just have a quick, refreshing taste of looking at Jesus in this perspective. I think I've mentioned before that I read through the chronology Gospels where you see all four Gospels lined up, and it really helps put a lot of things into place where you don't see, even though you've studied the Bible for many, many years. So there's also a real advantage for the seasoned believer to come back to this text, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
What was the advantage of this in your own study? I think that the people that benefit the most are always the ones who put in the study and write the books themselves. What was the advantage that you had in putting this book together?
Just further getting into the Gospels and looking at it, like you said, from the chronological perspective and really getting into, you know, and not just doing a glancing overview. I had to look at each section and study it so that I could share, and I just absolutely love doing it. Lord willing, I'll be writing more devotionals after this, but this subject matter will probably be my favorite simply because it's with the Gospels. You know, so I got to spend time in the place where I love to be anyway, even in, you know, my own personal study, I'm drawn towards the Gospels. The more you get into it, the more you see that, oh, yeah, look at that. I didn't really see that before. Or, you know, you see more and more and more about it, and the scriptures are that way. You know, you can read a passage 500 times, and you read it 500 first time, and all of a sudden you see something that you never quite saw before, you know. And God's Word has a way of doing that to people. You know, we only see so much revelation at a given time, and the Lord has more and more and more to show us. So I enjoyed writing this devotional series. I enjoy studying the scriptures. Like I said, for me, especially the Gospels. It's a blessing to me and a privilege that the Lord's enabled me to do this.
There's some advantage to going through this, as we've mentioned, in a chronological manner, to going through and seeing each of the developments and looking at the Gospels in four parts as a whole. It's helpful to see all of those elements lined up. What is some of the component that you picked out from this study? What the one thing that really stood out for you the most that really kind of excited you in this process of writing the devotionals?
I'll try to stick with the first devotional because that's mainly the one that we're talking about right now. I enjoyed sharing the significance of the number 14 when in Matthew's genealogy there were 14 generations between Abraham and David, and 14 generations between David and the exile, and then 14 generations between the exile and the birth of Jesus. So sharing with the reader what the significance of the number 14 was. Of course, anytime you get to do a study on the Beatitudes and on the Sermon of the Mount, that's always, you know, enriching, enlightening, challenging, because Jesus says things in the Sermon on the Mount where, you know, it's like, that's a challenge, because it's not always easy to love your enemies. There's a reason they're your enemy. You don't really like them, but Jesus says, love your enemies, you know. So there are challenging things as well, where, like, all right, Lord, how well am I doing this, you know, and that type of thing. So anytime you spend time in the Word of God, He's going to challenge you, because we're still in the process of renewing our minds, and we renew our minds with the Word of God, so there are aspects of our own thinking, our own personality, our own way of handling situations that don't quite line up with the Word of God, and it's like, I have to change that, because I need to be more Christ-like in my walk.
Well, in putting this book together, you've got us prepared for 3 months of a study in A Journey Through the Life of Jesus, Volume 1. When will Volumes 2, 3, and 4 come out?
I'm hoping the four of them the other three will come out this year yet. Probably within the next few weeks of us initially talking, I'm hoping to get the second volume, get that start in production, and go from there. I'd love to see them released about every 3 or 4 months. I took some time between the first volume and the second volume because I wanted to, and plus my
distributor.
The publisher. So I was thinking publicist, but the publisher wanted, suggested that I have, spend some time with the publicity aspect of the first book before putting the second book out. Well, the publicity aspect, that campaign's has come to a close, so it's getting to be time to get the second volume into production. So I'll be doing that before too long.
And what's your hope through this? I mean, you've written out all four of these volumes now, and you're going to move on, you said, hopefully to writing some other devotionals. What's next for this study?
Well, probably once the fourth volume is out and that's up and going, I have begun a devotional on the Book of Acts. So that'll probably be the next one. And then after that, I'd like to, hit Paul's writings and some of the writings that are towards the end of the New Testament and, the way the Bible's picked up as far as Hebrews, 1st, 2nd, Peter, 1, 2, 3, John, Jude, etc.
So we'll have to look forward to the fallout or the rest of this series here in the journey through the life of Jesus as well. That excites me to hear you're doing a study on the Book of Acts as well. A great way to follow up this series. And I just want to kind of go to a personal question from you. As you teach, as you put all these things together, what are you seeing as you spend time with Jesus, as you spend time with your word? How has it really captured your heart for your love for the word of God, your love for Christ? How have you seen that grow?
Well, I've seen it grow from the perspective of just getting more insight and getting more understanding of the scriptures. But it's the old adage where people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So I look at it from the perspective of, okay, getting this knowledge and this insight and whatnot is very important, but how's that transferring or translating into how I treat people? As I've grown and developed, while I have not yet arrived and am nowhere near perfect by any means, I can see that I do handle situations better than I used to. Like I said, not as good as I could, not as good as I will in the future, but better than what I used to. And that's a direct result of my walk with the Lord and spending time with Him.
We've been talking with Mike Fulmer. He is the author of A Journey Through the Life of Jesus, a year-long devotional series in the Gospels, and we've been discussing Volume 1, days 1 through 90 of this series, and the part of one of four volumes. Mike, thank you so much for being with us on our broadcast and helping us understand a passion for discovering the life and the ministry of Jesus.
It's been my pleasure, Adam. Thank you for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.